Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Thank you for what you've already started in the house. We're expectant that you're going to move. We're expectant that lives are going to change. We're expectant that, Lord, paradigms will shift. We're expectant, Lord God, that, Lord, when we leave this place, we're going to leave challenged, changed, and we're going to be ready to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Let's just give Jesus a big hand clap. He's great. So if you have your Bibles, let's just pick up your Bibles. We're going to go straight into the Word of God. Before I begin, I just want to acknowledge our leaders, Pastor Paul, Sister Vicky. Thank you for the honor for speaking to the church today. I understand it's a huge responsibility, and I just want to thank you for the trust that you've allowed me to have to speak to the people today. I want to thank the leaders, everyone in their respective places. God bless you all. Thank you for electing me to speak today. I got a text from Pastor Kevin, who says, can you preach at Elevate? And I said to him, I'm on the worship team, though. And he says, well, and I couldn't believe he said this. Well, it was really quite funny, actually, when I thought about it. He says, well, Pastor Anthony, he leads worship and he preaches. So even to compare me to him is Pastor Anthony's a legend. I thank God anyway, because I got a word on Monday and I was asked to minister on Tuesday. So let's just see what God does tonight. So as we all know, it is Palm Sunday, a day of victory, a day of great triumph and celebration. I just want to ask you all just to stand as we read the word. We're going to read from Matthew 21. And I just want to say the word this morning was powerful, absolutely powerful. The depth of that word, the detail was just absolutely outstanding, sir. So I just want to say thank you very much for being obedient and I'm really breaking things down for us. So we're going to read from Matthew 21, and it reads like this. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and begin and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, and foal of a donkey. So the disciples went, and this is Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when they had come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Now, I just want us just to flip over to Matthew 26:36, because I'm going to touch on this also. It says, then Jesus came to them in a place called Bethmain, and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Amen. You may take your seats. As I said before, Palm Sunday is a day of victory. Great triumph. As we heard this morning, Jesus was walking through Jerusalem. And the multitudes of people saw him. A lot of people knew who he was, and some didn't. Those who knew who he was, they praised him and they worshipped him. Those who didn't know who he was, they asked the right question, who is he? And people said, he is Jesus, the son of Nazareth. Now, when we look at this scripture, you know, I've heard a lot of sermons about, you know, Palm Sunday and, you know, some really unusual titles like, you know, we should ride on the donkey of, you know, Jesus and all this stuff, which I've heard about Palm Sunday messages. It's really, 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 really funny. Sometimes it's very hard to kind of get a sermon out of this passage. And that's why I have to say Pastor Paul did absolutely fantastic this morning. But what I really want to speak about is Jesus knew what was going to happen to him later on in that week. He knew that he was going to be crucified. And my thing was, when I was thinking about Palm Sunday and he understood what was going to happen, how did he stay in that place of just doing the Father's will, knowing that he is going to be crucified, knowing that there's a violent death that is just a week later that's coming his way for the sake of humanity? How did he deal with that? Because that's a hard thing. Coming into a city, receiving the praise, receiving worship, but then knowing at the back of your mind, these are the same people that potentially could stab me in my back. Or they could be the same people that will say, crucify him. But as he's entering into this city and he saw people giving him praise and worship, my thing was, what was going on in his mind? How did he stay on track? How did he do the things that he did, knowing that this is what was going to happen to him? Jesus is all-knowing. And nothing shocked him. So, if it was me, I would have lost my mind. If it was you, you would have lost your mind. Knowing that you're going to die for the sake of humanity is heavy. But he still managed to stay on track despite what came his way. So what I really want us to grasp from what Jesus was doing, and there's a specific word that I'm going to be using today, and I really want you to grasp that word, because that's the whole point of why I'm speaking what I'm speaking about. What we need to understand is that Jesus is unique in his own right. Even though we're supposed to reflect him, even though we're supposed to strive to be like him, he's unique. Because none of us could do what he did. It's impossible. But then he has given us a Bible. He's given us the Holy Spirit that is to lead us and to guide us into all truth. So whenever adversity does come, or whenever a trial does come, we know exactly what to do. Why? Because we're connected to him through the Holy Spirit. That's why he sent him, to lead us and to guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit would never ever speak off his own authority. It will always speak what it is that the Father has spoken, and then he will give it to us for us to run with. That's where we get our revelation. That's where we get our encouragement. It's straight from the Holy Spirit, but he got it straight from heaven. So the one thing which I really want us to really understand is Jesus understood his identity in Christ. But how many of you know just knowing your identity is not enough to get by? He understood the process that he needed to go through. But just understanding your process is not enough to do the Father's will. He understood his destiny. He understood what he needed to do. But that is just not enough for us to imitate and for us to do what God wants us to do. So what is it that really caused Jesus to continue to press, to continue to keep going, to continue to carry the cross all the way to Calvary for humankind, for mankind? What was it within him that drove him, despite him knowing what was coming his way? He was motivated. He was motivated to do the will of the Father. Nothing stopped Jesus from doing the will of the Father. Why? Because he was motivated. He understood and knew that if he did not, what would happen? If he did not, would we be here? If we did not, would this ministry be here? If he didn't die for us. So today, what is your motivation? And the title of this message is Motivated to Serve. What is your drive? What is your motivation right now? Is your motivation just to understand my identity? And then you're happy with that? Is your motivation to please the Father? And therefore, if it is, nothing should stop you from getting to the end goal. Nothing should stop you from accomplishing what God has in store for you. But it all comes from here, what your drive is, what your motivation is, because our motives can be incorrect sometimes. Our motivation might not necessarily give God glory to serve him. And I hear that a lot of people are very passionate about souls. Are very passionate. I'm an evangelist. I want to win the world for Jesus. But then you're not the one that's going out on the street. You can come here and you can say all day long, I'm passionate for Jesus. I'm passionate for the souls. I want to see souls saved. But then you're the last person to go to evangelism. It doesn't make any sense to me. What's the motive? Is the motive just to stay in the church and appear to be powerful? Appear to be on point? Appear to have it together? Because an evangelist, when they go out on the street, when they enter into Piccadilly Gardens and they see thousands of people just sitting down, that is like their dream. There's so many souls here. There's so many people to preach to. Oh my gosh, we're going to take authority here and people are going to give their lives to Christ. That is an evangelist like playground. They love that. But the motive, your motive has to be correct. A lot of people call themselves prophets. Pastor Paul said this to me. There's no point in being a prophet if there ain't no one to prophesy to. Your identity is not enough. It takes more than that. And Jesus understood that. Jesus understood that despite what came his way, he was motivated to do the will of the Father. Are you motivated today to do the will of the Father? What is your motivation? Think about it. What is the very thing that drives you? Do you want to be considered as the best worship leader? Do you want to be considered as the best preacher? Do you want to be considered as the best evangelist? It's all irrelevant. It's about doing the will of the Father. Our motivation needs to be correct before him because he sees it all. And we can only fool people for so long But right now, he's checking our motivation. He's checking us. It was so hard for Jesus because it's almost like he was by himself in his own little box, going about healing people, cleansing the lepers, doing what it is that God told him. And so many people didn't believe him, didn't believe who he was, didn't believe what he was about. But still, that didn't stop him. He still carried on. He still pressed on. And that's why we're here today. And that's why I'm challenging you to do the will of the Father, to go after him. And don't do it for man. Do it for him. Do it for him. So when I was thinking about this and Jesus knowing what was going to be happening to him at the cross, I thought, Lord, okay, you've given me this word motivation. What does this actually mean? A motivation means a state of state or condition of being motivated or having a strong reason to act or accomplish something. And this is why our relationship is so key, that we understand where we're going, that we understand what the will is. Because if you don't, you'll be lost. Or you'll follow someone else. And if you follow someone else, you're not completing or fulfilling your own purpose or destiny. So we need to get to a place right now where we look at ourselves and it's almost like we have to wake up. Because of where we're at right now in terms of the church and just society, we can't afford to deviate off of the will of the Father. Because there's too much at stake. But right now, we need to be right before him. I mean, like, really right before him. Like, really understand, you know what, Lord? I understand what you've done. I understand that 1 minute I can give you praise and worship, and the next minute I can turn my back and act as though he's not even there. Just like what the multitudes did. And that's why the fear of the Lord is so key, which is the beginning of wisdom. That even if something does come and tries to knock us off, we know, you know what? I need to stay on course. I cannot deviate from this path. There's too much at stake. Because if Jesus deviated off of his path, I don't know where some of us would be right now. But he stayed true. He stayed solid. He was immovable and unshakable. He stayed on track and stayed on course despite what came his way. And despite what comes your way, despite what tries to knock you off course, look at Jesus. Look how he handled the situation. And go into Matthew 26, verse 36. This was right in the garden of Gethsemane, and we saw Jesus in a state. He was in a state. To the point where he took his disciples, Peter, and the two sons of Zebedee with him, and he told them, he confessed to them, "I'm exceedingly sorrowful. There's something which is grinding me down. There's something which is pressing me so hard. And what I need you to do is just watch with me. I just need you to watch. That's all I need you to do. As I go further and I pray, I just need you to keep watch of me." And when he went to pray, and this was a moment where I thought, wow, Jesus almost lost it. He was like, "Not my will." He says, "Lord, if you could take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will." How many of us stop at that first point? "Lord, if you could take this cup from me," and then you walk away. Not even giving God time to even answer you. And then when he came back, he saw the disciples sleeping. That must have hurt him. And that just is just like saying, "I'm going through something and I need you to pray for me." But then you don't. And then you see them the next day. "Oh yeah, 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 I prayed for you. I prayed for you." No, you didn't. No, you didn't. All Jesus wanted was someone to watch and pray with him. Who knows what the disciples would have seen if they did? Who knows what they even missed because they fell asleep? Who knows what God wanted to show him or show them, but they slept and missed it? Who knows? They missed it. Watch me. Keep your eyes focused on me. Jesus' motivation was, you know what? Despite how I felt, and despite me being open with you, Lord, take this cup from me, this hardship, this mindset, how I feel, but not my will, your will be done. And I will not run away. And Jesus knew who was going to be captured. He knew who was going to be crucified. But he didn't run away because his motivation was to save humankind so that we would be here, so that we can praise him, so that we can worship him the way that we did, so that we can seek him daily, getting to know him, understanding his character, understanding his heartbeat, and understanding the will of God for our life. All he wants is our obedience. But our motivation to do that needs to be in the right place. You have to love Jesus so much, just with your whole being, that nothing is going to deviate you, no matter what comes. Temptation will always come. But guess what? Whatever temptation comes your way, you can handle it. That's what the Bible says. You can bear it, but it's your decision. It's a decision that you make. But if your motivation is in the right place, you will make the right decision to follow Jesus. Not to go the other way, because you've lost focus if you've gone the other way. Realign yourself. And I'm speaking this out. Realign yourself, whoever that is. Realign yourself back to the will of God. Because he needs you. He wants to use you for his glory. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a privilege? That the Almighty wants to use us. But every single week, when we're here listening to the word, do you know that that is God speaking? It's not an imaginary word that's coming out of preachers' mouths. That is God speaking through the vessel. So everything you've heard is from God. And sometimes it's so easy to forget the words that has been spoken on the pulpit, not realizing and not valuing that it is God that is speaking. The Almighty through the vessel. So that's why you don't take it for granted when the word is being preached. You don't take it for granted because it's his word. That's the now word, the rhema word. That's the word he's speaking in this season that we're in. You don't take that for granted. It's the word of God. That's one of the things we should value the most. When the word comes, that you grab it, you hold on to it, you go back and chew it, you get your own revelation from it, and that should motivate you to keep going and keep pressing and doing what you need to do in God. Because the word realigns you to the will of the Father, the heartbeat of God. Don't take it for granted, the words that have been preached from the pulpit. Value every single thing that has been said from the pulpit because it's God's word. You know that we're not victims, right? You know that we're not victims, right? I know being a Christian can be hard, right? Certain things will always come our way, but we have the Holy Spirit. We have the ultimate champion on our side. There's no excuse, but it is hard. And that's why I believe that even with Jesus, all he wanted was just some soldiers around him, just to watch during that time when he was down and out. Just some soldiers just to be around him. Just pray with me. Just watch with me. That's all I need right now. I just need some encouragement because sometimes it's hard to encourage yourself, right? Sometimes it's hard to be motivated, right? But then sometimes you just need a word from someone. All you need is someone. Just to encourage you in the Lord. Because I've got no words to speak. I can't even pray. But then Andy will just say, oh my God, sit down. You're the wrong person. Motivation killed. I need encouragement. My motivation is down. And all I need is a word, which is fast, thank you. All right, you can go sit down. That's one word I run away from. All you need is just to come into agreement with some people. And that's why we're family. Victory Outreach International, Victory Outreach Manchester, Victory Outreach Liverpool, Victory Outreach London, we're family. And we support each other. And we hold each other up. Because it's not just about us. It's about the region and about the nation. We are holding each other up when we're down. We don't kick each other down, but we hold each other up. Amen? Wow. The time has, you see my face? The time's just gone. Jesus, wow. So I want to do one thing. And I want you to imagine something. Let's just stand. I want this to be something you try to imagine. I want you to picture Jesus right now. He was battered. He was bruised. Because time won't permit me, I really have to fast track, but I want you to picture him carrying the cross for you. He was carrying the cross so that you may have life. And as hard as it was for him, he couldn't quit. He was battered and bruised and hurting and in pain. But every step that he took, he thought about us. Even though he knew it was going to be hard, and the cross was heavy, he thought of you. When he thought of Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, he understood the ministry that was going to be birthed and the weight and the responsibility of it, that we will be reaching out in treasures out of darkness. And there's going to be no other ministry like this ministry. But as he was carrying the cross, he had them in mind and says, I can't give up and I can't give in because there's too much at stake. There's too many souls that needs to be reached. There's too many people that need to understand who I am. Even when he thought of Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky, he understood anew the responsibility that was going to be on their hands, taking over this church and changing the season, I believe. Changing the seasons wherever it is that they go. Because they've been given an authority that when they step into a place, things change. Things shift. But Jesus understood the mandate on their life. And he said, I have to go all the way to Calvary. I have to die. Because there's so much at stake. And I can't give in. And I will not give up. Because my motivation is to do the will of the Father. My motivation is to glorify you. My motivation is to please you. And he went all the way so that you would be here. Carrying that cross that we deserved. He is great. Right now, just speak to him and let him know how thankful you are. And I'm talking about genuine worship and praise from your heart. Just saying thank you. Thank you. I know we've run over time. I'm very, very conscious. Thank you. Thank you. Realign yourself back. Realign yourself back. To be motivated to serve. Realign yourself. Lord, we thank you. And we praise you. For all that you've done. We give you the highest praise. All we want to do is your will. Let us stay motivated to serve you, Lord. So everyone, right now, just lift your hands real quick. It's really quick. Total surrender. Let this be the season where your motivation does not deviate from the will. that you'll be motivated by the right things in God, which is to do His will. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, Father, we commit this week into your hands. We ask, oh God, that you'll walk with us, be with us, challenge us to go deeper in you. Let our motive be in the right place this week. Let us not be selfish. But let our motivation lie in wanting to do the Father's will, despite how painful. We will not deviate, but we'll support each other as a family, holding each other up. And we're sorry, Lord God, for anything that we have done which has offended you. Just in terms of our heart, our motive, and the things that we do for you. On the outward, Lord God, it looks like we're just on point. But inwardly, Lord, there's so much work that needs to be done. Search us this week. Highlight to us the very things that need to change. You're worthy of it all. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you believe that word, just clap your hands just to confirm. God bless you.
Praise God. Before we close, I really feel that someone had a clear picture from the Lord, and it's important that you come and share it. We don't need extra biblical stuff to make our decisions for Christ. We have enough in the Word of God, but I think that someone had a clear picture from the Lord. You saw something, and it's really important that you come out and you share it with us. So if that's you, come out. Come and tell us what it was. When we were there in that moment of worship, if you had a clear picture from the Lord, something or a word, something that God has shown you, come out and share it with us, man.
One word, and it was yielding. Yielding, that's it. No explanation, no picture, just the word yielding.
Yielding. You know what that means? You know what to yield means? Go away, look it up. Pray about it. Maybe do it. Maybe there's one more. You're fighting it right now. You've been fighting it. Shouldn't I say it? Come and say it. There's one more person. Yielding. One more person. Maybe you had a picture. Maybe you had a word from the Lord. Maybe an impression. Spirit of God moves in this way sometimes. I believe He's moving right now. Come on, don't walk out of this place without doing it. You've done it before, don't do it again. One more. There's one more.
I keep having the same picture. I have it in the men's room. I'm in the men's room, by the way. I have the same picture, and I keep getting it daily. And it's the picture of a tree. I seen a picture of a tree, and on it, there was lots of fruit. There was lots of leaves, and it reminded me of the fig tree. But what happened is the Lord showed me the picture of another tree, which had just bare branches. There was no leaves, there was no fruit, there was no nothing. I don't know what that meant, and I still don't know what that means. But I seen another picture, and this was last week, and on that tree was the picture of a few more leaves. There was just a few leaves. And the Lord gave me the words that I am the God of time and seasons. I'm just sticking with that. I don't know if that's for anyone, but I believe that we're coming into a season where the Lord's looking to allow us to develop our fruits. He's looking to put us into places and allow us to grow and expand in what it is that we have and what it is that we already know. So I don't know if that's for anyone. It's definitely for me. I don't know if it's for anyone else.
Praise God, man. Praise the Lord. Everyone's coming out now.
I had to come out when Craig came out because I think it was Wednesday morning or Thursday morning. I was really in prayer for you and Sister Vicky. God really laid it on my heart to pray for you both. And I was in the spirit and he showed me a tree. Honestly. And the tree, what he showed me was the roots of the tree. And although the tree up above was okay on one, he showed me the many branches, the many roots underneath the tree, and it was solid. And he was saying, that's how, that the ministry that you're bringing, that's how it's going to be. It's going to be solid, so we're not to fear. And I actually got a picture that I should have sent to you. I was disobedient, but I will send it to you. And it was a tree, and it had all the roots that were really thick underneath the earth, and they were holding hands like this, like shaking hands together. So when Craig came up, I had to come up.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to close, but just close your eyes a minute and just pray. The Lord's spoken to you today through the message, very strong message from Curtis, very strong, very clear message. And then, you know, from we believe in the Spirit of God. We believe He moves. He still moves in this way today. We don't need any of these things to add to the Word of God. We've got the Word of God. But sometimes they just come and just give us a steering, a direction. That word yielding. To submit, to surrender, to give over. Control. That's what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he yielded his will. He said three times, if you would, take this cup from me. And then the third time when he came back and found him still asleep, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he yielded. That surrender was what caused him to be able to become the true Messiah, and not just the promise of the Messiah, but the actual Messiah. You know what? You've got promises in your life, promises that people have spoken over you, promises that you've read and heard. But until you yield yourself, until you give up your will and just say, Christ, Jesus, God, Father, your will be done. Is there any fruit? Come out quickly. If that's touched you in any way, come out quickly. If that's touched you in any way, I know it's touched some people. Come out. If that's touched you, just come, just for 2 minutes, come out right now. You might need to yield. You might need to give up your will a little bit. You might need to say, you know what? It's hard what you want me to do, God. It's tough. I'm struggling with it. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for people's boldness and their obedience to you, to the sensitivity of your Spirit. Lord, just in this moment, Lord, we pray that you would see people's response to you, oh God. You would hear the cries of their heart. You know the reason why I think the Lord done this? If you read that scripture, time's gone. We closed 15 minutes ago. Curtis finished on time. He done great. You know in that scripture where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he took 11 with him. Obviously, Judas was away, getting ready to betray him. He took 11 with him into the garden. He said, watch with me for 1 hour. That means stay awake. It means arise, that word watch. Get up. Stay up. Then he took three further with him. Took three with him a little bit deeper into the garden. And he said, told them the same sort of thing. Then the Bible says, and he went a little further. And he fell down on his knees and he began to pray. And one of the Gospels, it says, and he sweated under the pressure of it like drops of blood. Such was the pressure of this yielding thing, this submission thing, that it caused him a physical reaction. You know, I think that's what we're doing right now, just going a little further. But it was that moment of going a little further. You know, when you go a little further in your fast, when you go a little further in your prayer, when you go a little further in your giving, when you go a little further in your serving, when you go a little further in your walk with Christ, when you go a little further. Sometimes that's the point when you come right bang smack up against the will of God for your life. And there's nothing else around you. There's no hindrance. There's no obstacle. There's just you and God and His will. And there's the pain of it. And there's the reality of it. But in that moment, you look around and there's no one else around. There's nothing else there. It's you and Him, and you have to make that choice. And He made it, and boom, it was done. From that point on, there was no going back. There weren't no backsliding. There was no going back. He'd gone too far. He'd made his decision. And this is where some of you are at right now. You're making your decision. You want to know the antidote to backsliding? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct, straighten, smooth out, make uncrooked, untangled, and unmangled your path. Right now, this is what we're doing. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, Lord, all over this place right now, I pray that there are people, God, that are really getting untangled, unmangled, God, that they're making their decision to serve you, Lord, and then the roots are going to go down, they're going to go deep, they're going to be unnoticed, they're going to be in obscurity, but they are the foundation, Lord, of all the fruit that's going to grow in a person's life, all the fruit that's coming, all the fruit, all the fruit. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it shall bear no fruit. In this moment, in this time, in this season right now of death once again to our things, our agendas, our mindsets, our ways, God, it is birthing a fruit that is eternal, an impact that is going to go beyond our own sphere of influence. If that's you, say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Say yes. Just say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And now begin to thank Him right now. Just one moment. Begin to thank Him for the fruit that is being accrued to your life. It's coming into your life. It's coming into your reality, into your experience. Thank Him right now. Lord, I thank you for that fruit. Come on, some others of you might need to come out and yield a little bit. If you need to yield right now, come and yield right now. You need to yield your little agenda. You need to yield your fear. You need to yield your pride. You need to yield your comfort zone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, seal this time in our hearts. I pray for the men's home right now. Lord, I pray for an end to backsliding. I pray that there's going to be a crop of warriors that come out that bear fruit. Pray for the women's home, that there will be no more backsliding. That they would be warriors that bear fruit. Pray for the men of the church, that they would be men of character and backbone, not noodle backs. Soften when the water gets hot. Pray for the women in the church that they would know their calling and the giftings that you've placed upon them, God, that they would rise up. We pray for this church that no longer, we've been hit many times, but no longer, God, are we going to take it, but we're going to fight back. That there is going to be an explosion of growth. A releasing from the church into society. An influencing of the world around us by the walk that we walk and the lives that we live. We pray against negativity. No more gossip. No more backbiting. No more negative speaking. No more manipulation or playing of games. No more immaturity in that. But the Lord, that there's going to be a growth right now that it is beginning. It is coming forth. We thank you for that. We're praying for missionaries. We're praying for connect groups to be planted. We're praying for churches to be planted. We're praying, God, for businesses to be started. We're praying for mentors to rise up. We're praying for young men and young women to grow into their giftings. We're praying for creativity, God. All of these things come when we surrender who we are to you and we receive who we are from you. Surrender who you think you are right now and receive who you truly are. That's the way of God. And we thank you for that. And we give you glory. And time is really gone. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, you could be dismissed unless you want to stay for one more little dance up. Hallelujah. If you need to go, go. If you've been a long day for you, then praise God. God bless you. Go away. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. If you want to just sing one more funky, praisey, victory sort of song, it's your last Sunday dance. Back to work tomorrow. Come on, even Trace is coming on her crutches. Give someone a hug, a high five. God bless you. In Jesus' name.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.